Thank you all so much. Well, open your scriptures with me, if you would, to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. Nehemiah, chapter 2. In 2009, earlier in this year, rather, Darren Hardy, who's the publisher of a magazine entitled called Success Magazine, did an interview with Mark Sanborn, who's the founder and the president of Sanborn and Associates. It's an organization that specializes in training and in customer service consultation and those kind of things. It's interesting in this interview that I heard. Mr. Sanborn said this. He said, "Preparation is the mark of a professional. Anytime you see somebody do something with excellence and it looks easy, it's because of excellent preparation. The key to great performance is great preparation," and how true it is. We are in this series that we've just begun a number of weeks ago in this wonderful book of Nehemiah. It's entitled Daring to Live God's Dream. We've learned in our study of this book thus far that daring to live God's dream requires perspective. It requires God's perspective. So for you to live the dream that God has for you in your life, you're going to have to learn to see things the way God does and think the way God thinks and view life from God's point of view. And then we learned that daring to live God's dream requires vision. That is, believing what God can do in you and through you beyond where you are today. Daring to live God's dream, we learned last week and we'll continue today, requires preparation. Now, remember Nehemiah's setting, because this book, remember, Nehemiah began in far away, 100 miles away from the city of Jerusalem. He was a high official in the King Artaxerxes' administration, we would call him, we would say. And yet, God began to do a work in his life. He heard news of what was happening in Jerusalem, and the walls were broken down. He began to get a burden, a vision of what God could do in his life and through his life to build the walls of Jerusalem and restore this city. And God worked in his life in wonderful ways. The city there, remember, was a city that was broken down and there's rubble, and the city that for decades, for 90 years, had sat in this state of ill repair, at least the walls had. But God began to do a work in his life. But before he ever set one timber or laid one brick, cleared away one bit of rubble, God had to prepare him and prepare the circumstance to do his work. Now listen to this. This is where it really deals with your life, because please know and understand that God has something he wants to do in your life. And he wants to do through your life beyond where you are today. God is doing something in your life right now, and he's continuing to work. But listen now, before you can ever take those steps, there are things that God is doing to prepare you step by step by step to live out the dream that he has for you. Now, when we were together last Sunday morning in this passage of Scripture then, we learned from Nehemiah chapter 2 that there were four key truths. We only dealt with two last week. We'll do the last two here in the next few moments. We learned that we need to, as God is preparing us, that we must learn to wait on God's time. It's not idle time. While we wait on God, we pray and we plan and we prepare. And while we are waiting, there are things that God does in us, that only happen when we learn to wait. And there are things that God does in the circumstances around us, so that in his sovereignty, he is working in us and around us to help us and guide us as we take those next steps in living his dream. So we learn to wait. And then the other thing that we learned is, beside waiting on God's timing, we learned together that there comes times when you have to walk through God's doors. And God opens doors and God brings everything together so that there's a window of opportunity. In Nehemiah chapter 2, it all came together. The prayer life, waiting for 4 months, asking God to do something, planning for 4 months. And finally, God opened the window of opportunity. The king asked, what's going on? And Nehemiah lays out the plans he'd prepared. And God had arranged so that this king became a partner with Nehemiah and with God in rebuilding the city walls. And listen to this, there's a reason why some people live God's dreams and some people just live. Because some people, when God opens the doors by faith, walk through. And some people, when God opens doors, they just look at the door. And then they wonder why they don't take the next step and why they don't live out God's dreams. So by faith, we walk through God's doors. Now, there are two other truths that we need to know that God teaches us from this passage of Scripture to prepare us to live out these dreams. But remember, this is something that God has to do in us, right? So to that end, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to do a work in us this morning. You know, you've been seated for a while, haven't you? Would you mind if I had you stand and change position for a minute? All right, please stand with me, please. You look like you're okay with that. And then after prayer, we'll be seated. Our Lord, we desire to hear from you today. That is more than anything else, God, we want to hear from you. And this morning, it is my absolute conviction that you are doing a work that you want to take people, give them a vision beyond where they are of what you could do in them and through them. You're doing this work, Lord, I know. And today, you have brought each of us here because there are things that you know we need to hear as part of the preparation that you are doing as we continue in this journey with you. And so we ask you to do it. For those that are with us that may not know Jesus Christ and be saved, oh God, today, bring them to yourself. Make them see that this very hour is the very moment you have ordained for them to come to Jesus Christ. And we pray it in His name today. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Here we go. First, we learn to wait on God's timing. Second, we learn to walk through God's open doors. Here's your third truth. Are you ready? Watch out! Don't let anyone sidetrack you. Nehemiah comes to town. He brings his entourage. Everybody, remember, there are guards to guard. There were timbers that were brought from the king's force. And so this large group of individuals invades, if you want to call it that, this city in this area of Judah. And people are saying, what in the world is going on? But right away, before anybody even knows what's going on, Nehemiah meets opposition. Notice with me what happens and what the Word of God tells us. In verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Listen to this. God is doing a work in your life. He's giving you a vision of what He could do in you and through you beyond where you are today. But you need to know that that doesn't mean that everybody's going to get on board. There's always somebody to rain on your parade, right? Have you found that to be true? There's always somebody out there. And when somebody wants to rain on your parade, or should I say more importantly, rain on God's work, when that happens, you need to watch out. Now, here's what you need to watch out for. Watch out for faulty motives. Now, in verse 10, God tells us something about Nehemiah's motives. We would not know otherwise, but the Spirit of God put this in His Word to help us to see what Nehemiah's desire was, what this was all about. Did you see what it was, verse 10? Someone had come to seek the, do you see it? Read with me, watch this, the last phrase. Seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So he came out, he came to this city, to this place, for the best of God's name and of God's people. But not everybody was happy. Now you have to ask a very hard question whenever God is doing this work. Because God is birthing in some of us, many in our congregation, in us as a whole, dreams and desires. But you have to ask yourself and ask the hard question, is this dream, this vision, this hope of what God could do in me and through me, is this about me? Is this what happens, what is for me? Or is this really about the glory of God and the good of God's people in God's name? Now, that's a hard question to ask. That's a tough question to ask. But it's a question you really have to ask yourself in evaluating your own motives. And so when opposition comes, the first thing you need to ask yourself before you look at the opposition and think, what do I do before those obstacles come in your way, before any you do anything with the opposition and those against you? You need to stop and you need to look in the mirror and take a hard look at your own motives. So check yourself. Could it be that your motives are for your benefit, not God's glory? Be very careful when God is giving you a vision of what could be, what could happen in your life. And ask, is this really about God's glory? Because even in opposition, listen to this, it's not just even about them. Though you always will address at different times opposition. It has to be about the will and the work and the glory of God. And you have to make sure that you yourself are right in this thing. You see, Jesus, remember the night that he was crucified, or he was taken to be crucified? And he had his last supper with the disciples, and there he was, and they spent that very personal, special time together. And Jesus said to the disciples, he said, one of you is going to betray me. And Matthew's gospel tells us something very interesting. That the disciples asked, is it I? Is it I? Why did all the disciples ask this question? There was only one who would. Why did they all ask? I'll tell you why they all asked. Listen to this. They all asked because they each knew that in their heart of hearts, they had the propensity, the possibility, the potential of being one that would obey the Lord. And please understand that you and I need to be aware. We need to be aware that none of us, even with a God-given dream and vision, none of us, the fact that there is a God-given dream and vision, that does not guarantee that I myself will be right. That's why we need to be very aware. So that Paul told the Corinthian church, when you come together at the Lord's table, that if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's 1 Corinthians 11:31. He's saying this, that you need to take a very, very hard look in evaluating yourself. You may want to pray with the psalmist, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the ways everlasting. Listen, you've got to be very honest with yourself. So you watch out for yourself and check yourself and then watch out for the others. You can't judge the motives of other people. Only God can do that. But you need to be aware that there will be enemies in your life who will try to drag you back and drag you down. Sometimes they know what they're doing. Sometimes they don't realize what they're doing. But there will always be opposition. And watch out for others and their motives. And then there's something else you need to watch out for that Nehemiah ran into. Watch out not only for those faulty motives, but let's watch out and be aware of false claims. So Nehemiah comes on the scene and he comes into town. And remember, for 3 days, we learned last week, he didn't say anything, didn't tell anybody anything. For 3 days, he just at night would drive his Mustang. Well, I don't know what he drove, but he had his horse and or his mule or whatever he was riding. And he looked around the city for 3 days, surveyed the city. He was planning. But after 3 days, he had his plan and he calls together the people and the leaders of the people. And he begins to tell them what God had done, was doing. And read with me, beginning in verse 17. Then I said unto them, that's the rulers, the leaders of the city, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and that we are in and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. That, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But wait a second. Remember those two guys we met earlier? They had another partner in crime. And watch what happens with them. Verse 19. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, And Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Now listen, did you see the falsehood of those claims? They first asked, can you really do this thing? Come on. They laughed at him. They questioned his competence. Nehemiah was a far greater individual than these men. He had achieved far more in his life than these men had ever achieved. But yet, they made a false claim about his competence. And then they made a false claim about his motive. And they said, really, you're here as a rebel against the king. Wait a second. Was that true? Yes or no? No. It was the king that gave him permission. It was the king that gave him protection. It was the king that gave him provision. It was the king that gave him every resource that he needed to do the job. The king was for him, but yet, false claims were made. And you need to be aware that if you're going to take steps in your life to do the will of God, if you're going to be willing to live and daringly live the dream that God's giving you, be aware that there are individuals who will make false claims against you. And while we're here, what's happening is there are some of you, there are names that are coming to your mind. There's a picture of that person. Maybe a time when even recently there's an individual who's been trying to make those claims and pull you back and keep you from doing the will of God. There are false claims that can be made, and anyone who has and is doing or daring to live God's dream will encounter this. Now, here's what you need to be careful of. Are you ready? Be careful of this, because when people make false claims and ascribe to you faulty motives, what happens then is you get frustrated. You can get aggravated. You can get irritated. You can get exasperated. You can get infuriated. I can't think of any other words that sound like that. But I mean, and you will get so caught up and wrapped up in what they're saying and what they're trying to do that you will focus on that and you will miss living God's dream because they've sidetracked you. That's why some of you are bitter. You haven't gone past the next step in your life because you've been so sidetracked. That's why some of you aren't progressing. It worked. That's what they wanted to do. It's what the devil wanted to do. And you let him win. You have to keep focused and moving ahead, doing the will of God. Okay, now, here's the question then. It happens. What do I do? How do I respond whenever people ascribe to me faulty motives and make false accusations? How do I handle this? In this passage of Scripture, then, there's an answer, and God's Word gives us some great help. What do you do? Well, here's God's remedy. God's remedy is, you really begin, you prepare now. Listen to this. Every day you prepare now with integrity. So that whenever Nehemiah stood before the leaders of Jerusalem and he explained it and these claims were made, his own integrity stood the test of time and the test of the pressure of false accusation and faulty motive. Integrity. So if Paul told the church in Ephesus, I guess it's a cyclical, the churches of Ephesus, he said to them, Ephesians 5:15. See then that ye walk circumspectly. You know what that means? That means whatever step you take in your life, you always take the high road. Paul told the church at Rome, let not, this is Romans 14:16, let not your good be evil spoken of. And I want to tell you, listen, some of us in our lives, we're daring to live God's dream. But if we're not careful, we think we can take shortcuts on integrity and still live God's dream. And friend, it's not the way it works. There is no shortcut for character, for integrity. And those times in your heart of hearts when God is dealing with you, don't think that you can live God's dream and take a shortcut on integrity. It won't work. The best protection you have against these false accusations is a life that it makes those day by day, point by point, tough decisions to be a man, a woman, a child, a teenager of integrity. Always take the high. You'll never regret taking the high road. We won't ask for testimonies, but there are plenty of folks who thought they could be the exception to the rule and learned the hard way that you can't be the exception to the rule. All right. So, you prepare now for the enemies that will come, those that will sidetrack you. You prepare now by developing a life of integrity. Here's the second thing you do right now. You prepare now by obedient faith, because there are some things you deal with. And when things happen, you do deal with those enemies and you do deal with those that sidetrack you at times. But you can't deal with everything and everybody and every circumstance and every accusation. You can't do it. And so you have to learn by faith to leave God to do what only God can do in a way only God can do it. Now, turn with me to the book of Romans. And in the New Testament, the apostle addresses this. Romans chapter 12, and find verse 17, if you would. We'll read a couple of verses there. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes by inspiration of the Spirit of God. Verse 17 of Romans chapter 12. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. But dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. There are times you do all that you can to reconcile. You do all that you can, but there are times when you are going to have to leave these things with God and let God deal with it in God's way and move on. Now, how many of you know that have walked with God for a number of years? How many of you know that God has a way of handling His business? That's why you have to be a person of integrity. Because then you can leave it to God, and God will, whether in time, whether in eternity, God will take care of it. Okay. So watch out. Don't let anyone sidetrack you. Now, here's the last truth. Are you ready? Number four. This last essential truth that you need to understand is God is preparing you to take you from where you are to where God wants you to be, to make you the person you are, to be the person He wants you to be, for God to deal with you now, to work in your life and through your life, to do His will beyond where you are. Number four, here it is. Are you ready? Number four is this: work your plan. There's an expression, you've probably heard it. It goes like this: plan your work, and say it with me, work your plan. Now, remember last week, while Nehemiah was in Babylon, he was there, but his heart was in Jerusalem. And so while he was there, he began to plan and began to pray and seek the will of God and the mind of God. Now, that was vital, and that's why in your life, remember we talked about the importance of planning. If you want to have a dream, you need to plan toward that dream. And so the importance of that, this is there will come a time you have your plan there in place. You've sought God about it. You're seeking His direction, and then God opens the doors. And when God opens the doors, then you start to do what you already planned to do. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Usually in life, the plan doesn't go when you start doing it. It doesn't go the way you thought it would go, right? Brother Bear talked about that today. And that's okay. That's okay, because God knew things and knows things that we didn't know back then. And so that's okay. He'll direct us. But there comes a time when you've got to go beyond wishing and hoping and thinking and praying and someday, maybe someday, there comes a time in your life where you've got to stop that and you've got to start putting into action in obedient faith what the will of God is for your life. You've got to start acting on the dream, on the vision. And so in this passage of Scripture then, Nehemiah is he shares with us his experience in Nehemiah chapter 2. It is that he shows us what it's going to take for us to begin to live God's dream and what will be involved as we begin to work the plan that God has for us in doing his will for our lives. And let me share this with you very quickly. Number one, this plan first has to begin with conviction. Now, I want you to notice what the Bible tells us in verse 12 of chapter 2 of Nehemiah. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. There has to be in your thinking, and men and women, boys and girls, teenagers, listen to this very carefully. There has to be, this is something that you have to be settled, that God is doing with me. God is doing in me. I can't give you that dream. Only God can do that. I wouldn't even want to try. I don't have the wisdom of God. But you see, God is personally working in different lives, in different ways. And friends, what he is doing is he's giving you this dream of what he could do in your life and through your life beyond where you are. And you need to come to a point in your life where you are satisfied and settled that this is something God is doing. This becomes a conviction that I must act because God is the one that has put this in my heart. There's great joy. There's great confidence when you know without doubt that right now in my life I am doing what God wants me to do right now. And when the opposition comes, you've got to have that settled or else you'll wilt and you'll fade. You'll quit and you'll walk away and you'll live a life of saying, I wish I would have. Oh, if only I could have. No, my friend, you've got to be settled right now. This kind of conviction that this is God's will. This is God's dream. This is what God is doing in my life right now. There's conviction. Then there's another step you need to understand. It's going to take this. There has to be beyond that. There has to take commitment. Commitment. And I want you to notice the way that God describes this for us beginning in verse 17. And then I said unto them, he's assembled all the rulers of Israel there, of Judah rather, in Jerusalem. And I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. God had put this in his heart, and now he was saying to the people, listen, God put this in my heart, but will you come with me and will you be part of what God is doing? Will you make the commitment? There has to come a time, men, in your life when you stop saying, oh, someday I want to be the man I want to be and start being the man God wants you to be now. There has to be a time in your life, young person, when you say, someday I want to really start doing what God's will is in my life. There has to come a time when you say, no, it starts right now, and I'm willing to commit unequivocally, without turning back, to do whatever I have to do right now to do the will of God for my life and live the dream that God's given me. So Nehemiah calls the people to a point that it's commitment. Now you'll notice when he made this commitment, he had already settled it. He settled that long ago. But now standing before those people, he said, let's rise up and build. And what happens is when God is doing this work in your life and you're willing to stand on this conviction and commit to it with holding nothing back, here's what happens. And that is God has a way of bringing about cooperation. The people you need, the resources you need, the direction you need, everything, he will bring it together in his time so that you can dare to live God's dream. And notice with me what happens then in verse 18. And then I told them of the good hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken to me. And they said... Now, here's the people that see the dream. They see the vision. They see that God is in it. And these people together, they say to Nehemiah, they say, let us rise up and build. So they strengthen their hands for this good work. Daring to live God's dream. Do you realize that God is preparing you for the next step today? Today. This is another step. This very hour is another step in the preparation process in your life. God's dealing with you, and for some, it means that there has to come in your life right now a conviction. This is what God's doing in my life. I accept it. I embrace it. And then the commitment to follow up. And maybe it's time for you to stop dreaming and start doing on the basis of the dream. And then what will happen is you're going to have to learn to trust God. You're going to cooperate with God. God's dealing with your life. He's changing you. He is shaping the circumstances and the person you are. And He's working with you. And then God is working all around you. All around us and through us to do His will. Before one brick was laid. Before one timber was hoisted. Before any pile of rubble was cleared, God was working to bring Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem to a point that changed their lives and changed history. Now listen to this. The issue of the city of Jerusalem was not just a city with walls. The city of Jerusalem, of all the cities of the world, is the one special city that the Bible says this, that this is the city that God says, I have chosen to set my name there. The issue of all of this was not about just Nehemiah and the people and their protection and their safety. Yes, that was important. The issue was the glory of the Almighty God. And the manifestation of this city where He was revealed. And friends, that's why in your life, everything that God is doing in your life, in you and through you, all of this preparation, it really is not about you and it's not about me. It is about the glory of God. For we are the people of God. And so whatever it is, you need to have your focus that I want God to be glorified. I want God to be glorified. And when you want to quit, you've got to be settled. God has brought this in my life because God wants to be glorified in my life in this way. Whenever the commitment gets high, and friends, it is high. If the commitment is low, it's not a commitment from the Lord. When the commitment is high, then you need to know, I'm doing this not for me, I'm doing it for the glory of God. And when the conviction and the commitment, and then God brings people around you to be a part of that, what He's doing to bless you and encourage you and help you, then, my friends, you will find that God will be glorified, and step by step by step by step, you will dare to live God's dream. Let's all stand together, shall we? With every head bowed and every eye closed, please, this morning. Our God, we are asking You to birth in the people of this congregation a vision that is far beyond where each one is right now. And for our church, we believe that too. But Lord, our concern right now is the people individually. And there are some. You are so moving. Not some, many. There are many. That You are so moving to take them to another level, another place in their lives, a greater depth. And I pray, oh God, that You would help them to understand that what You are doing right now in their life is part of this preparation process, preparing them for whatever the next step is. And so, God, I would ask You to do Your will. Even this morning, with your heads bowed, before I close out this prayer, maybe for you, you know that the Spirit of God is dealing with you about some very important things in your life. And you'd say, Pastor, before me right now, I know that God's doing something in my life. I know He's beginning, but I realize in a way that I really haven't fully before to understand that how I respond right now at this juncture, in this time of my life where God has brought me to this very place, just like He brought Nehemiah to this place, that I have some important decisions to make. And I want you to pray that God will help me to trust Him and to believe Him and take that step with Him. If that's you, very quickly, raise up your hand. Yes, so I'm looking on this side over here. Hold that hand there so make sure I don't miss any. Yes, on this side, yes, I'm going to go to the other side of the church. people of all ages, all across this room, thank you. You may put your hands down. God bless everyone. Now listen, the eternal God has put this moment in your life, this very moment. It's time for you to make that decision. It's time. Maybe today you're not saved. You need to be. You know your sin. God's made you so. You know that Jesus died and rose again for you. But today is the day that you need to receive Jesus Christ and be saved. And maybe today that's you. And you say, Pastor, pray that I'll get. I need to be. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you in just a moment. That's you. Very quickly, raise up your hand. I need to be saved. And this is the moment. I don't want to miss the will of God and not be saved today. So, Lord, our prayer is for each individual. And our desire, O God, is that you would work in each life. Give them the courage to believe you and to live out the dream that you have for them, I pray. Help them not to cower and settle for anything less than your will and your very best. And so we'll ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your heads bowed if you would. The instrumentalists are going to play, but this is a time for invitation. It's a time for you to begin to take action on what God is doing. And this altar is available for you. You say, I need to get some things right with God. In my life, I've been taking the high road, trying to take shortcuts, and God's convicted me of it. I need to confess that. It's time to get right with God about it. This altar is for you right here. You say, I want God's help because I know there are steps I need to take. This is the time. This altar is here for you. Come on. Come on. If you look this way, Jeff and Judy Lynn Walton have presented themselves for membership. And Jeff and Judy Lynn, you shared your testimony in new members class, but you've both received the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, and you've both obeyed the Lord in believer's baptism. And you believe the Spirit of God is leading you to be part of Stanley Heights Baptist Church. All right. Well, wonderful. If you're a member at Stanley Heights and glad to welcome the Waltons into our fellowship, would you say amen? All right. Very good. Now, here's what we're going to do when we're dismissed in just a moment. We're going to have Brothers Walton, if y'all will stand here, and I'm going to have David Bennett come over, and you're in the same Sunday school class, and stand with you all and greet folks as they go through. And then want to make just welcome some folks today. We're glad to have Brendan Roberts today. I met Brendan earlier and came with the Bears, and we're glad to have Scott Thompson and Julie Oliver with us as well. And we're just super glad to have you with us as well, and God bless you all. And tonight, Brother Barron's going to be preaching, and I know you'll want to be here and be part of that. All right? Thank you. Make sure you see Jim Treese, and just it's wonderful to have them home. And thank you for ministering to us in songs and the work in China, and just great. Thank you so much. All right, and Vicki and I would be glad to meet you at the back door on your way out, and have a wonderful afternoon, and may the Lord help us to live His dream. Doctor, would you please come close the service, sir?
Sing together, surely goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow.